I am so excited to be kicking off a new series today on our second big word. The second big word, as you can read, is follow. We just finished the first big word of gather, and it's important for us to have learned why we gather, that it's God who gathers his church, and the church are those who have been called to follow Jesus Christ. And so it's kind of like when I do a wedding. Oh, by the way, speaking of weddings, Brandon and Andrea Atwood, please stand. We just want to say congratulations. Welcome back from your honeymoon. Last night was, I think you said the first night, all six of you were in your house, so praise God for that. But when I do a wedding, what I do is at the rehearsal is we always position people first. Okay, so I will stand here and I'll have the groom next to me, and then we'll get all the groomsmen lined up on one side, and then we'll practice and have the bride stand here and all the maid of honor and all the ladies over here, and we start at the rehearsal by having people stand where they're going to be in the service. And then what we do is, okay, now you know where you're going to end up. Okay, now you know here, now go back to your positions. Men usually go back there, and the ladies go back there. And then we practice, because now they know once the music begins, they know where they're supposed to end up. Okay, and it just makes sense to do a wedding rehearsal that way, because you position people first so that when the music begins, they know where they're going. And so I wanted us to start the seven big words by knowing that God gathers us into a church because we are a peculiar people who are following Jesus. So we're gathered together in a place because we're following Jesus. And we gather to scatter because there's a certain way we are to be living our lives. And in the same way I asked in the first message about gather, I said, who gathers us? I asked, do we gather ourselves? Do you gather at my invitation? Do you gather because we have a cause that we're all in agreement with? Is that why we gather? And the answer was no, we gather because Jesus gathers us. We are called by God to be here. And in the same way, I've got another question for you. It's this: who are we to follow? Who are we to follow? It's so easy to lose sight of the answer to that question in the midst of real life and real circumstances. To whose invitation are we responding? Is it the pastor's? Are we following a pastor? I hope you're not following a pastor. Are you following a worship leader, a personality, or a style? Do you go where you like the personalities the best, where you like the style of music the best? Do we follow a group of friends, and wherever they go, we go? Are we following a cultural pressure, a tribal pressure, if you will, that we have to be a certain kind of person, wear a certain kind of clothes? Are we following a denomination, what I call a brand loyalty? You know, people are very loyal to brands, and sometimes church gets caught up in the brand instead of the person of Jesus Christ. And they end up believing things that aren't biblical because that's what the brand says they should believe, and they stop looking what the Bible says. And so do we follow a denomination, a brand loyalty? Sometimes we end up following family and tradition. Well, that's where we've always gone. That's what we've always done. But we don't examine the scriptures to determine whether our family and our tradition and our denomination are all in agreement with the Word of God. Are we following a cause to champion? Many people jump on the bandwagon of a cause. And that's a big thing in some churches as well. People get caught up in a certain social issue, and they become the champions of that in their local community. And then they stop following Jesus, and they start carrying that cause. And I just want to make it very clear as we start this big word, follow, that we are invited to follow Jesus Christ. He is the one that gathers us, and it's his invitation to which we respond. In Mark 1:17, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, we hear these words. Mark 1:17, this is one of the theme verses for our series. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Follow me. Who's the one inviting you to follow? Why are you here? Who are you trying to be like? And that leads me to the question, how? How are we to follow Jesus? You see, when Jesus invites us to follow him, he's inviting us to do something very peculiar. He's inviting us to become his disciple. Now, we don't use the word disciple in our culture, so it's kind of a foreign word to us. So think of the word apprentice. If you want to become a carpenter or a plumber or an electrician, what do you have to go through? An apprenticeship. Why? So that you can learn the skill. You can learn how to do your trade. Jesus, when he says, "Follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men," he's saying, "Become my apprentice." Okay, if the word apprentice doesn't make sense to you, think of the word learner. Jesus is the teacher and we are his students and we are to learn from him. Jesus' call in Mark 1:17 was to fishermen. And so we see a play on words here. Follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. And Jesus was saying is, I'm going to change your occupation, or at least in our context, I'm going to help you look at your occupation differently. Where you think you're going to work to simply earn money, to pay bills, to have a lifestyle, Jesus is saying, no, I want you to look at every aspect of your job and of your work, not as a means of making money to pay the bills, but that is where you're going to influence people for me. Be my apprentice, be my learner. So 1900 and almost 2000 years ago, when Jesus first made this call, Jesus stood there and looked at these fishermen in the eyes, and how did they respond? They immediately dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. Meaning that from that point forward, they walked where Jesus walked, and they got the sand from Jesus' sandals on themselves. The dust from Jesus' sandals were on these men. They learned what he taught. They sat at his feet. They ate what he ate. Because Jesus was not only the Son of God, fully God, but he's also a real man who ate meals. They watched how he did life as a real person, and they tried to do what Jesus did. A disciple, what is a disciple? Simply put, a disciple is a person who follows Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. We do not need to have long, exhaustive, seminary-level definitions of what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus, learning from Jesus, being an apprentice, being a learner of this teacher. And so, if you are a disciple, what does it mean for you to follow Jesus in your everyday life in everyday ways? Well, and that's why we have this verse up here. Here is the other theme verse for the Follow series. Ready? It's, and that is my typo. I apologize. It should be 1 John. There's the Gospel of John, and then there's the three letters of John, or the epistles of John. This should be the first epistle of John. So there should be a one in front of the John there. So 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to look at the end of verse 5 and verse 6. So 1 John chapter 2, second half of verse 5. That's what the 5B means, by the way, if you don't know that. 5A would be the second half of verse. 5B is the second half of the verse. That's just a little geeky information for you there. Okay, 1 John, here we go. 1 John. Not, yeah, hey,
Poof.
Thank you for making me look good up there, Cheryl. You rock. By this we know that we are in him. Talking about Jesus, that we are in him. The one who says he abides, that means to remain in, to be connected to. Abide is like the, think of like a vine with a branch, and a branch has fruit growing on it. To abide means to be connected to, abiding in, nutrition comes through it. So if you're connected to Jesus, you're like a branch connected to a vine in which fruit can bear. Okay, got it. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. That's why on our banners back here for Follow, we have a picture of a person walking. And you see the footsteps. That's why in the cover graphic of your bulletin, you see footsteps in the sand. Because we are trying to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. To follow. What does it mean to follow? To follow is to be on a journey with Jesus. In the church world, we use a big fancy word for this. You ready? We call it discipleship. Everyone say that. Discipleship. Disciple plus the word ship. Okay, so what is discipleship? Let's keep it simple. We don't need big, geeky definitions of words to know what they mean, right? Discipleship is simply the process of becoming. Discipleship is the process of being under construction. Discipleship is the lifelong journey of a person following Jesus in order to become more like Jesus from the inside out. As you follow Jesus, as you learn what he taught, as you eat what he ate, as you spend time with him, you are transformed from the inside out. And that's why our mission statement at this church is transforming people. We exist to see people transformed, to see stories transformed by the gospel of Jesus. Because we believe that when you embark on the journey of discipleship, when you start following Jesus, that you will be changed from the inside out. It's like playing follow the leader. If you will. Remember the kids game, Follow the Leader? Okay, remember the rules of Follow the Leader? There's someone in charge, they're the leader. Okay, in my case, it would probably be my daughter, Alana. She'd be the one, she'd be the leader. And you, all the other kids would have to follow her. And if she patted her head while she walked, you would have to pat your head too. Now, if you use your left hand instead of your right hand, you're out. Because in Follow the Leader, if I rub my tummy and pat my head. Can you do that? If you rub your tummy and pat your head, okay. If you can't do that, then you're out. Because in Follow the Leader, you need to walk the way the other person walks and you need to do what the other person does. Okay? And so in Follow the Leader, the point of Follow the Leader to win the game is to do what the other person did, to imitate them, right? And if you are the last one in the group standing, then you get to be the leader of the next round. So the point of the game is to learn how to follow someone so well that you imitate them so that you can then be the leader, so that other people then will have to follow you. Okay, that's kind of, in many ways, the whole point of discipleship. Paul said, and we'll get to this later, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, is that we're to follow Paul as Paul follows Jesus. So in Paul's little circles, Paul won the game, Follow the Leader. And so he got the right to be the guy that everyone had to follow him now. And so in Christian world, in many ways, the people who become leaders are the ones who are following Jesus the best. Not having original new ideas or writing books that make them sound good, but really it's just the humility of following another person so well that you point people to Jesus by the way you live. And that's what qualifies people for leadership in the church, is they're really good at playing the game, follow the leader with Jesus. Does that make sense? And that's really what discipleship is. That's why we get in small groups. That's why we have conversations with each other over coffee. We sit down, we talk, and we talk about how our life is lining up with Jesus's life. And when there's something in our life that doesn't make sense or isn't lining up with Jesus' life, will we hold each other accountable to that when we help each other follow the leader better? Simple. And that just keeps going on from generation to generation. The better one generation does at following Jesus, the more equipped the next generation will be to follow Jesus. And so that's why parenting is so important, because parents are supposed to follow Jesus really well with each other, because their marriage looks like Jesus in the church, and then they're to like model that for their kids. And that's how you prepare kids to be adults, is by living before them. Not just by dropping them off at church, although we appreciate when you do bring your kids to church. It's by you living before them. Because kids naturally want to follow their parents until they learn whether you're not going to be someone they follow or not. Okay. The good news about this is that Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. In other words, he says, your job is to follow. And then he says, my job is to make you become something. Jesus says that he will send a helper to you, and that helper is the Holy Spirit. And so the great news about following Jesus is you don't have to do it by yourself. The pressure is not on you. The pressure is on God to keep his promise. And in Philippians 1:6, he says that he's going to complete the work he began in you. That's good news. So even if you stumble on the journey, who's going to be there to pick you up and get you back on the way? The Bible says the Holy Spirit will. And that's one of the reasons we gather, is so that we can be the person the Holy Spirit uses to pick someone up after they fall. So what do you do when a brother or sister stumbles? Do you sit there and go, I can't believe you did that. Must really hurt down there. No, you don't sit there and say, kind of hate it to be you right now. No, you sit there and you get down on your knee with them and you suffer with them a little bit and then you help them get back up. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's what we do. That's what it means to be the church. Because following Jesus is how we fulfill the Great Commission. You know, following Jesus is being a part of what God's doing in the world today. You don't have to go out of your way to try to be some crazy person for Jesus. You just got to really follow him, and then the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. Because God's not going to bless your plans. God's going to bless you to be a part of his plan. And the way you become a part of his plan is by following Jesus, and you go wherever Jesus takes you. And I think that's the thing where Christianity has gotten off, is we've taken it as our little idea-generating thing, that we're going to have all these great ideas for Jesus, and we're going to do all these great things for Jesus, and we do all these things, and the Holy Spirit may have nothing to do with that because that's your idea, and he's not the one calling you to do it. Your job is to follow Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, he's going to make you a part of his Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. So Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 says this. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, here's the key words. All authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. What's a disciple? Someone who's following Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, next week, we're going to have baptisms. We have some baptisms next week. So if you have not yet follow the Lord in baptism by your own faith decision, next Sunday is a great time to do that. Please mark your connection card or talk to me about it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of this age. We follow Jesus Christ, and he fulfills that through us. The pressure is not on you, church. The responsibility is on him. Our job is to follow. And when you follow him, then discipleship happens, which means the Holy Spirit changes you from the inside out. It's the work of God in you. Not what you do for God, but what God does through you. I cannot be emphatic enough. that Christianity was not intended to be a pressure cooker of responsibilities and burdens that crush his church. The church is intended to be the people that remain connected to God by following Jesus. And then Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, causes us to do all these things that he wills for us to do. But you can't do it when the pressure's on you. The responsibility and the burden's on him to do it through us. All we've got to do is respond to his call. And so we're going to do this real quick. I want to give you an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus by responding to three calls. Okay, here we go. Jesus says 7 times in the Gospel of John, I am. There's I am declarations. Okay, ready? This is going to blow your mind. We're going to do it quick. It's going to be fun. Okay, in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Right? How do you respond to that? Okay, there's a big word up there. By God's grace, following is an intentional journey that begins with imputation, not amputation. Christianity does not begin with amputation. Imputation. Now, I'm going to explain what that means. Ready? It's simple. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God's righteousness, God's perfection, God's holiness is transferred or credited to your account. Okay, now let me give you an example. If you're born a Kennedy, do you have to work hard to have money, fame, and access to pretty much any nightclub you want to go to? No, because you're born into a family that credits you with all those things. You have a family name. And in the same way, if you're born into a family where there's a bad family name, a name of ill repute, there's nothing you can do to earn bad relationships with people in that community, because it was imputed upon you that you are a certain kind of person. Imputation means to impute something, means to transfer it or credit to an account. Okay, so my good friend Trevor here, he's off at college. Let's say Trevor is all the way to 3 hours away from here, and he calls mom and dad and says, not this would ever happen to Trevor. I'm just your example. This would never happen to you. Trevor calls and says, I'm broke. I don't have enough money to pay for my books. My account is zero. And so mom and dad transfer money into Trevor's account. That's now Trevor's money, which he didn't earn. They imputed it to Trevor. They gave it to him. They credited it from their account to his account. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through me, you need to realize there's nothing you can do to earn that relationship. That relationship is 100% imputed to you by God's grace through faith. God's righteousness is credited to you. That's what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross of Calvary, there was what's called the double imputation, which means double transference. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took all of your sins onto himself, past, present, future. All of your sin, all of your death was credited to Jesus. Bum deal for him. Great deal for us. But that's not what saves you, because sin is the obstacle between you and God. Jesus first removed the obstacle between you and God by taking all of your sin upon himself. You know what he does next? That's why it's the double transference, the double imputation. Next, Jesus takes his right standing with the Father, his sinless, perfect life, and he transfers it to you. To you. So Jesus gets all of your sin and all the punishment you deserve for your sin. And what we get by God's grace through faith is we get the righteousness of God. right standing. So when you stand before God, he sees his son's perfect submission. He doesn't look at you and see your sin. He looks at his son's perfection, because just like Trevor's mom and dad imputed money into his account that he didn't earn, they credited his account with money he can now use to buy his books for next semester. God imputed to you right standing with God. That is what imputation is. That's the first thing we do when we follow Jesus, is we freely receive. And you can't do anything else but that, because you can't work for God's salvation. You can't earn God's salvation. You are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works, so that no man can boast. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it means to follow Jesus. You can't take another step of following Jesus if you don't get that. If you think you have to earn God's favor by being a good boy or good girl, that is not Christianity. If you think you have to do certain things at the church to be saved, that's not Christianity. That is not why Jesus died on the cross, so you can still be a slave to your own flesh. The pressure's off you. Follow Jesus and let him give you all the credit. Let him fill your account with all of his love. That's salvation. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. How do you respond? By putting your faith in him. Lots of verses to support that. We'll keep moving. The Great Commission begins with our being made right before God, but it continues with the journey of imitation. Okay, so here's the second I am. Ready? So the first I am was, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you responded with imputation. Here's the second one. Jesus calls in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, so how do we respond to that? It's right there. Jesus said he is the light of the world. We're to imitate him. Listen to this, Matthew 5:14-16. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, you are the light of the world. But in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. So who's the light of the world? Can anyone answer that question? Is Jesus the light of the world, or are his disciples the light of the world? Yes. How do we show the light of the world? By imitating Jesus. You know what the greatest form of flattery is? The greatest form of flattery is imitation. Don't you love it when a little boy tries to be like his daddy? Well, usually it's cute. Depending upon what daddy sounds like at home, sometimes it's just like, oh, where'd you learn that word, boy? But it's so cute to see a little boy trying to be like his daddy, to try to strut like his daddy, to put on his daddy boots and to walk in his daddy's boots, to try to talk like his daddy, and little girls trying to be like their mommies. Imitation is the greatest form. Flattery is the greatest form. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. It is true. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. But back to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. To imitate someone means you examine their life and you do what they do. So if the first step of following Jesus is imputation, which means you receive transferred credit to your account the righteousness of God, right, through the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the second thing you do is you imitate. You now, by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, examine the life of Jesus by studying the scriptures, being a part of a church, being in a group. you then learn what Jesus lived like, what he said, what he did, how he responded to situations. And you, disciples, followers, apprentices, learners, you do that. That's all it means to be a Christian. It means you have received righteousness from God, righteousness from God. It means you have received right standing from God. You were once dead in your sin. Jesus took that death for you. He gave you life in the Holy Spirit. Now follow him. Follow Jesus. That's why we gather as a church. We gather because we know where we stand. We follow Jesus to get there. Following Jesus gets us there. Do you want people to know you're a Christian? I bet you do. Then dress like him, walk like him, talk like him, eat like him, treat people like he treat people. Play follow the leader with Jesus. That's all you got to do. Play follow the leader of Jesus. And in the church, leadership is supposed to be those people that are playing follow the leader of Jesus the best. So if you can't quite think of following Jesus, then find a person in this church that's following Jesus and hang out with them. Not because you're following them, but because they're following Jesus. If you don't know what it means to be a disciple yet, find a disciple. Pray to God as Jesus prayed. Be baptized as Jesus was baptized. Trust God as Jesus put his life into God's very hands. Resist temptation with the word of God, just like Jesus resisted temptation using the word of God. Learn and obey all that Jesus commanded, which is the great omission of the Great Commission. We get people saved, we get them baptized, but then we're also supposed to teach them to obey everything that he commanded. That's what this series is all about. This series is to take the great omission of the Great Commission out. And for us as a church to be responsible to say, it's not enough just to see people get saved and to be baptized, but they need to learn to obey all that Jesus commanded. And does that mean more pressure on me or more pressure on you? No, it means he will do it. Your job is to follow. 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 Walk as Jesus walked. Now let's go to the third one, the third and final call and response. The Great Commission is meant to be reproduced in every generation. The gospel is passed through who you are and how you live your life towards others. We've already talked about the great transference of God's righteousness on you, God's right standing with you. We've talked about that. When you follow Jesus, you are saved, you are born again. God's righteousness is yours now. It's yours. Right standing with God is yours. And we now know we need to imitate him as the light of the world. And then here's call number three. Jesus calls in John 15, 1 through 4. What does he call? I am the true vine. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Okay, that's the big word imputation right there. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. If you believe in Jesus and you put your faith in him, then you're already made clean by his word put in you. That's the Holy Spirit. God, his word in you. Okay, now if that's true, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And that's this big word right here. Impartation. The third thing we do in response to following Jesus is we let him credit to our accounts all that good stuff. He takes all the bad stuff. We imitate him, and then guess what? We give it to other people. That's all impartation means. It means to share or pass on what has been given to you. The Holy Spirit has filled you and is regenerating you. You are in this journey of becoming more like Christ. And listen to Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. This is one of Paul's letters. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he says, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. Did you hear what Paul said? We are very well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, but our lives. That means to share. Another way of looking at impartation, it means you share with other people what you've been given. Have you been given a lot by God? If you are saved, if you are born again, you have been given life. You have been given forgiveness. You have been given everything you need to live the abundant life, peace and joy, faithfulness and hope. Your job as one who follows Jesus is to give that away. Is Christianity complicated? Is evangelism complicated? No, we don't need a special class on how to evangelize. You just need to give it away. You just need to understand what God's done for you and give it to others. That's all impartation is. You are given what has been given to you freely. Because you're the branch and he's the vine, and your job is to abide. Your job is just stay connected, follow Jesus, and guess what God's going to do on your branch? He's going to bear lots of fruit. And if you got too much fruit in an area and it's loading you down, he's going to prune. Might hurt, might even feel like discipline, but it's not discipline. He's pruning your branch so that you can bear even more fruit. There is a transference that happens from God to you, and then from you to the community. You come here on Sundays to receive the impartation of my study and my life. But that's just a small part, a small sliver of all that God has for you, that in groups you can impart to one another. In relationships, you can impart to one another. Parents, grandparents, you can impart so much to those kids and grandkids. You have so much life and so much love to impart. Impartation is what we are called to do. Sundays is just a small taste of that. You see these prayer shawls right up here? There's four on this side, four on that side. We have people in our church that hand make these prayer shawls. And then we have people who deliver them to nursing homes and hospitals. We have little ones that go to babies. We are imparting to our community in need of the love of God. Listen to this one thank you card. I'm sorry to have taken so long to thank you for the prayer shawl Joyce brought to me. I'm still not able to drive, but I'm getting better. Thank you all for the prayer shawl. I know it's anointed and many prayers went into it while being made. When I get up every morning and go to my chair, I pick it up and hold it to my heart. I thank God for her and the church continuing to pray for me. God is so good and I love you and God so much. He is with me always. I thank you for your continued prayers and love. You see, a simple act of imparting to another through your creativity and craftsmanship, hand delivering, going to visit someone who's sick, writing a handwritten note, texting them a message, shooting them a positive message on social media. I emphasize the word positive. We have so much to give away, but why do we spend our time in the muck and the mire of this broken, perverse world? You can be the antidote by being the light of the world because you have been given everything. So our job is to respond, not by feeling pressure and burden, but by simply following Jesus. Listen to what Jesus commanded. In Matthew 10:7-8, Jesus said to his disciples, go and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Impartation is word and deed. Christianity is more caught than taught. Did you know that? I get 45 minutes a week to teach you. Do you know how many hours a week you have to teach your neighbors, to teach your family, to teach your coworkers, to teach fellow students? It's your words and your actions. It's how you treat people. I've got such a little bit of your time to try to impart upon you all that the Lord has been teaching me. And I want to pray for you, and we're going to respond with a song. So response team, come on up. I'm going to pray over you that you would do a great job of playing follow the leader at work. That you'd do a great job of playing follow the leader at school. That you would do a great job playing follow the leader in your neighborhood. Between now and Thanksgiving, we're going to each Sunday look at different ways we can practically follow Jesus. We're going to look at how he lived his life and how we can imitate Jesus so that we can impart to others what he has given to us. Remember this. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. And I want you to think about this question. Who are you following? And then I want to ask one other question. Who's following you? And what are they seeing from you? What are they hearing from you? I pray it's Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time where we can open up your word and learn what it means to follow Jesus. Lord, there's so much confusion in the church. So many books being written. So much fighting in Christianity. What a waste of time, Lord, when we could be loving our neighbor as ourselves. When we could be focused on following Jesus with our whole heart. So, Father, I pray for this congregation of First Baptist Church here in Newcastle, Indiana, and to anyone who is listening, that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon you now, and that he would unite your heart to Jesus Christ, and that you would make it your life ambition to follow Jesus, to be under construction, to look more and more like him every day. And my prayer for this church is that a month from now, you'll look more like Jesus. A year from now, you'll look more like Jesus than you did today. So in response to this message and in response to the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you, receive Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. Receive God's gift to you. And leave this place today filled with the Spirit, filled with God's love, to walk like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to do the things Jesus would do. Go and impart the love of God to a world that so desperately needs light and love and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.